one point, you were pretty much the dead opposite of what you are now. You
Yes.
were the party girl.
I was really quite the opposite of who I am today. And there was some common through lines. You know, I had a big mouth and I liked to entertain and I liked, you know, bringing people together. But I was really looking for my happiness in all the wrong places and really stuck in this outside perception of myself and stuck in this belief system that with this outside stuff, I'll find my happiness. And as you mentioned, very, very stuck and hooked on the nightlife scene and being a publicist for New York City nightclubs and all of the funky stuff that goes along with that.
Funky stuff being a white powder that would somehow right. fall up your nose.
That's right. So yes, cocaine and alcohol and really not healthy habits. And I'm very transparent in this book, as you have read, about my addictions and overcoming my addictions and having been a very powerful point in my life. Not a minute of it would I change, because I know what that dark side looks like. And so I'm grateful for that time, because I can today really teach from an authentic place of knowing what it's like to not be happy and knowing what it's like to be really stuck.
I think you got off actually fairly lightly when you had your crash.
Yeah, from an outside perspective. Internally, I was quite injured. I was really sad and depressed and confused and lost and feeling incomplete. But yes, people, I've heard many lower bottoms than mine, sort of great higher bottoms than mine. So, but really the main point is that it was a catalyst for change. And so regardless of how high or low it was enough for me to make that change. And each person has their own bottom in different forms. And it could be as low as mine, or it could be lower, or it could be as simple as just someone feeling like they're stuck in their life and they have to find a better way. So it's not really to be compared. It's more just what is enough for you to decide that there's a better way.
You know, even as you started your career helping people as a life coach, that you're still addicted to bad relationships.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so that addiction to codependency and addiction to relationships was a big one for me to kick. The other ones were really easy to lift. When I was ready to let go of the drugs and alcohol, it really lifted quickly because I was so tired and exhausted from that lifestyle that it was exciting to me and refreshing to me to have a healthier life. So that was easy to let go of once I made the decision to do it. It wasn't easy before that, but when I made that turning point, it was easy. And then my addictions to food really lifted after a few years of my recovery. And then that one lingering addiction of romantic relationships was really, really tough to kick. And it really turned out to be my greatest life assignment and a humongous transformation for me. And it led me to hit my knees again and really surrender and open my heart and really open up to more guidance. And through that, I found my coach, as you know, my synchronicity of how the universe plants exactly what teacher you need at what time so that you can do the work you need to do to change. And just having that willingness to change was what got me to get over that one too.
You look like a teenage girl on the cover. You look like a teenage girl sitting here too.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Have you intentionally geared it and written references and things so it'll aim for that teenage girl?
My primary core adopter, my core audience, is a 25-year-old woman, young woman. So she's had that quarter-life crisis. She's kind of disenchanted with her life. She realizes that it's a little harder, and she's starting to accept that she's ready to change. It goes up, it goes down, it becomes male, female, you know, transgender. It goes in all different directions. But the core audience is a 25-year-old girl, much like myself, when I wrote, you know, when I hit my bottom. And I wrote that book for that girl. That girl who's in my shoes at that time, and for everyone, for anyone that is struggling, but knowing intimately what her experience is, because that was me.
Spirit Junkie is the name of the title. Still a junkie. How do you defend against that?
There's nothing to defend. It's kind of a play on the words, right? It's like I was a junkie, and now I've chosen something else to be in love with, right? I've chosen another healthier addiction, And I think it's more of just a focus, right? I've shifted my focus. And so if my daily habit is to focus on my spiritual life, I can't really think of a better way to be a junkie.
The tools you use, when I sort of went through them, it's like they're pretty simple tools. Mm. It's meditation, mm-hmm. prayer, mm-hmm. journaling.
Mm-hmm.
What am I missing?
Forgiveness is a big one, right? Practicing forgiveness and really opening up to letting go of your old fear-based belief systems about people. So becoming conscious of who you need to forgive and seeing your part in those situations and then praying for the forgiveness to come forward, right? That's a big one. Gratitude, service, releasing judgment, releasing attack, releasing the separation between people and the specialness that we create with people, right? Starting to become conscious of our projections of others. So the beginning of the book, you know, the detour into fear gives you sort of the backdrop of how our minds went wrong. And then the second part of the book, which is the answer, starts to give you the tools and the real solutions. And then the miracle says, you know, go run with it.
The book is Spirit Junkie, A Radical Road to Self-Love and Miracles. I've been speaking with the author, Gabrielle Bernstein, and Spirit Junkie is published by Harmony Books, distributed in Canada by Random House.